Hello and welcome to Inside the Banny. My name is Matt and today I'm talking to Alice, the owner of Vesuvius Taverna in Ios Nikolaos.
What's up, Matt?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Ready for the summer.
So, Ari, there's a few things I wanted to talk to you about. But you told me the other day something which I didn't know at all, was that you were actually born in Toronto.
Yep, I was born in Toronto in 1973.
Right, and what age were you then when you came back here?
It was in the beginning of 1978, so that I was 5 years old. And because I was born in the 1st of January in 1973, 1st of June, New Year's Day. Uh-huh. So all the year is right here. And well, it's a funny story because I was born in Canada and my father was working there. He had a pizza restaurant there in Canada and a partner with an Italian. So the Italian actually teach him how to make proper spaghetti and pizza. And he went there to stay. Because in Greece, that time, there was really not many things to do. And then, one day, beginning of, end of 1977, I guess, he wake up in the morning and he said to my mother, start packing. I said, what? Start packing. I have an idea. So we're going to go back to Greece. I said, what do you mean? What idea you have? Well, you know the storehouse we have under our house in Agios Nikolaos. We're going to go there and I'll make a restaurant. I said, really? Really? Okay, I'm happy. My mother was happy to come back from Greece, of course. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of 1978, my father came in Greece. And the first thing he did, he went to the mayor and said to the mayor, votes for concrete. I said, what? What do you mean?
Sorry, votes for concrete.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You see, the restaurant was next to the sea, next to the rocks, and you wasn't really allowed to put concrete on the rocks. But that, those years, the mayor was looking the other side if he had to get something for it, a profit, let's call it like that.
So you mean he turned a blind eye.
Yes, blind eye, exactly. So he said, look, we're a big family, Christias is a big family.
Yep.
We'll give you a lot of votes if you, how did you say, blind what?
Turn a blind eye.
Turn a blind eye. So we make some platforms here for the restaurant. And that's what happened. Then my father went down to the village. He said to everybody down the village, whoever want to get some extra money, he can come in the morning to the restaurant area to make concrete because there was no trucks those years to make concrete and come and place it there. It was all handmade.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
A lot of work, a lot of concrete, yeah. So in 1978, summer of 1978, end of April, restaurant was ready and started just with pizza, spaghetti, Greek salad, some fish that we could catch around the area, really few plates. And every year, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And here we are with a full menu of different recipes. Most of them Greek. Most of them Greek. That's why I'm trying to have mostly Greek recipes. And even the beers. I only have Mythos and Fix. I don't have Amstel or Heineken or Kaiser or whatever
fly
else.
Fly the flag. Fly the
fly
flag.
Fly the flag. Yes. Yes.
Well, I think at this point, for people who maybe are listening who've never been here, your location is stunning. So we're sort of on a promontory coming out of the harbour of Ios Nikolaos, which gives you a view to the left, back to the harbour.
Absolutely.
Straight ahead down the coast to the village of Ios Dimitrios and beyond. And then to the right, you've just got water and the Bay of Messini. It's it's a beautiful location.
It's marvelous. I have never had enough. Every morning in the summertime, I'm drinking my coffee out there. It's never enough. Every morning is like the first time in paradise.
Not a bad way to live.
Not a bad way at all. I consider myself one of the luckiest men in the world.
That's good. That's good. So you briefly mentioned how the Taverna started, and I've noticed from personal experience that unlike some tavernas who kind of develop a menu and then if it works, they stick with the menu and the customers keep coming and nothing changes. But I've noticed with you, not huge changes, but you're always sort of looking for a new idea.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know if you remember, some years ago, I had these Asian nights every Thursday. Which was very, very popular. Very popular. And even now, there are people that they come and they ask me, hey, Aris, why don't you bring back this Asian night? It was marvelous, marvelous. So this year, for the first time, I had something that it was from those nice years. I had spring rolls that I made, homemade. The one is with a variety of mushrooms and truffle. And the other one is vegetable. Also, I have had those really, really popular in Crete. It's called skufichta. It's a homemade traditional pasta, which is also amazing.
And just quickly going back to the Asian nights, I remember coming here, and I used to live in the Far East and missed my Asian food. And I came along with some friends, and there was this guy dressed kind of like an Asian chef outside with a wok, like in Asia, like one of those mobile food hawkers. And I ordered up something which was delicious. But then I looked again at the chef, and then I looked again at the chef, and I realized it was you.
Yeah.
So how did you learn how to...
Well, a friend of mine, he have a how we call it, chain of Asian restaurants mm-hmm. in Greece. And in the wintertime, when I didn't had, I was on my holidays, he invited me to stay in his house in Athens for some weeks and get trained from his Asian chef.
Wow.
So I went there, I stayed some weeks in his house. Every day I was for 10, 15 hours in his restaurant, get trained from his chef. And that's how I learned.
Great. Great. But nowadays you've kind of reverted back to sort of more of a Greek style and it's more kind of fish based.
Yes. I think it's like 70% seafood recipes and 30% is meat or vegetarian or vegan.
I know you're a really keen fisherman.
I am.
So you must have lots of stories from the high seas.
I have seen turtles, huge turtles swimming next to me. I have seen seals. Once, when I was quite fishing deep, I've seen a shark, but not dangerous, man.
Yeah,
I don't think in Greece we have the white shark or the tiger or the bull or the hammerhead, which they are dangerous. I think it was in Greece, I think we call them the sampu shark, which he's harmless, but he was big and he swam in front of me. I was down there in the bottom of the sea. I have dive and I have hide behind a rock waiting for him to pass, like waiting the other fish to pass in front of me so I will shoot them with my harpoon. But then those fish, they start running away and I was like, what's going on? And it was the shark was coming. So the little fish, they ran away. And the shark, this sampu shark, he was just passing like 4 or 5 meters close to me and he just swam and disappeared in the blue.
And have there been changes in the fish stock and, you know, what you're catching over the years?
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, the last years, there are three different species that they have come to our water, and those is the lionfish, the second one is the rabbit head fish, and the third one is the wild salpa. That's the fish that does, I think, the most damage. Wild salpa is in shallow water where the octopus and the fish are placing their eggs. So the wild salpa goes and they eat the eggs. So it destroys the chance for the little eggs to grow up and become a fish. The rapid fish, it's hits the fish when they grow up, when they will be like my finger, small. The rapid fish goes and eat that fish, so it's also bad. The lion fish does the same, but most of them, the wild salpa is doing the most damage.
And the only one I'm familiar with is the lionfish. I've seen photos of them. They look pretty...
spiky.
Spiky's the word.
Spiky.
Are they poisonous? But you can eat them, can't
no,
you?
No. Well, some people, they cut the spikes and they eat them. I would never. I don't know. I would never.
Not tempted by...
Yeah, but think about it. The spikes, they say they have the poison. Who can guarantee that the poison is not in the meat? So I'm not eating it. No.
Another sea story is, I notice on the outside of your taverna, there's a very big anchor.
Actually, there are three anchors. You have seen only one of them.
Okay.
But that big anchor, there is a story about that. My grandpa, he's not in life anymore. He died like 10 years ago. But he have told me the story about this ship, big ship, that came here and moored outside of the port, outside of Agios Nikolaos port, because it has a problem with one of the engine parts.
Right.
And that engine part, it had to go out and repaired. But they didn't know if they could drive the boat to Athens, if it would last and it won't break. So they said, we moor here, we'll send this part to who knows where, Germany, Italy, I don't know where, and they will fix it and they will bring it back to us. But this thing would take probably a month to do all this,
right,
to send it there and back. So they did took it out and they sent it. But in the meantime, we didn't have the windy Frimeteo weather forecast and this. And a week, 2 weeks later, storm came to the village, big waves.
Right.
So the boat was big, but the waves were also big and start shaking the anchor and then break the anchor.
Whoa.
And took the ship to shallow water outside of the harbor and sinking. It's still outside of the harbor. The shipwreck is still there. You can see it.
How far out is it from where we're sat now?
It's outside of the harbor, outside of the wall of the harbor, like 20 meters outside of the wall of harbor, in 3 meters deep. But the huge propeller... And we're talking a propeller that every fin of the propeller is bigger than my whole arm.
Okay.
You can step on the propeller and your head, your whole head is out of the water. So it's that shallow.
So anybody visiting here could, from the harbor wall, get a snorkel and...
Yeah, as long as, as I said in the past, people can come to me here. I'm going to give them a mask, snorkel, and a float to carry with them because it's the entrance of the harbor. So people, boats, speed boats, they go in and out right. All the time.
Yeah.
So for safety, I'm giving them a diving float, to hold close to them. So if a boat is coming in or a boat is going out, to be able to see them, that somebody is diving there, to so they will stay safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was a while ago. In modern times, have you sort of sat having your coffee or working here, seen other boats, little sailing boats, get into trouble?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. 3-4 years ago, I was sleeping, and my wife called me, and she said, Ari, can you take a look with your binoculars from the balcony? There's something there in the deep, deep water, quite far from the land, from the coast. I cannot tell what it is. Can you take a look with the binoculars? I said, okay. So I took my binoculars, I look, and there is a boat, a sailing boat, upside down.
Capsized, huh?
Yes, capsized, is that the right word? Okay. And two heads in the water. And I was like, somebody's in danger. So, and my wife said, I've seen this long time, like 2 hours. And from what I know, if you're in the water, after a couple of hours, gets
hypothermia.
Yes, ooh. You can die.
Yeah,
and there was quite far to swim here. It was like 6 hours, 7 hours to swim from there back to the. Well, there was. I guess there was waiting for somebody to spot them, and I guess they was lucky because my wife spot them, and immediately I went down to the harbor. I took my boat. And I went there, and I bring the boat back in the harbor, and it was safe, and everything was good, and he was very thankful. Next day, he came with a bottle of whiskey.
Okay, let's rewind a bit to another subject I wanted to talk to you about, the Theogenes.
I remember when I was in the army. In 1991, 1992, then is when I had this brilliant idea to come back in, to finish the army and come back here in the village and do Theogenes. So I remember I called my father while I was in the army. I said, Dad, I've got an idea, but I need your help. So what? Well, do we have a property when I can publish a pub? He said, no, we have many properties where we can do that. But the best one is right before Pandazi Beach. There is where you can make your pub. And I finished army. I came here, me and my cousin. We start building it slowly. And we make, I will say, pub for the moment. I remember I had 8 speakers for pub speakers, small one. So so 2 days later, I drive to Kalamata and I bought 6 bigger ones. And then a week later, I went to Kalamata and I bought 4 bigger than the last ones. But that was good and bad. For the customers, was very good because it was very popular. Every Saturday, every Friday night, party, dancing on the table, sirtaki, buzuki, zebekiko, crazy. Everybody was allowed after 2-3 o'clock to break their glasses, the one that they was drinking. I will never forget my supplier. Every Monday, I was asking him to bring me 15 paper box of 24 glasses. More and more. Because everybody was
breaking them.
Yeah, instead of breaking plates, was breaking glasses. And the speakers were so loud that they could hear me in Plaza, in Agios Dimitrios, in Selinitsa. It was quite loud. Yeah.
And so it was your business, your idea.
Yep.
And what was your role
Mostly. I was doing what I was doing the previous year before I opened the club. I was a DJ.
Uh-huh.
I knew I could see the pulse of the people. And I could make them, because I was a DJ, but a couple of times I hired a couple of DJs from Kalamata, but they couldn't find the pulse of the customers here. There was mostly electronic music. They didn't have the pulse. So I was mostly a DJ, yeah.
I know you were the DJ because I remember you used to sit in a little kind of DJ hut.
Yes.
What kind of music were you playing? Was it Western? Was it Greek? Was it a mix?
It was a mix. It was starting with a little bit of jazz early, so people was coming to have a drink and have something chill to to music to listen. Then we were starting playing pop, soft rock, Latin, reggae, and then at 1:30, 2 o'clock, when it was full crowded, then we were starting the Greek songs. And of course, Greek songs was a lot of tsifteteli, which you dance on the table.
Yes.
And zebekiko, where you are dancing on the floor. And we had plenty of alcohol bottles, the one you use in the pharmacy, the alcohol, the pure alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody was dancing zebekiko, we was making a circle around him with this alcohol, and then we was fired it on.
Fire
so he
rings.
Was dancing in a circle of fire. So it was a big party. It was amazing.
And opening hours?
Oh, opening hours. We was opening at 8 o'clock for those that there was work in the morning and they wanted to come earlier for a drink. And closing at usually not before 6 o'clock in the morning, because the bakery was waiting for us. This was a habit. I will never forget, like 6:30 in the morning, when the first light was coming from the mountains, the light, not the sun, the light. And we was closing, usually with Pink Floyd or with Eleftheria Arvanitaki. And at 6:30 in the morning, there was like 40, 50 customers left, and we was all, I think you was there. I think you can tell what we was doing.
For me.
Remind me.
My memory is dawn coming up, and I don't remember Arvanitaki, but I remember Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of staggered out of the club, and I had a moped. And this is all back in those days. And as you said, I drove straight to the bakery just to sort of get some food in my stomach and went home to sleep. How many years did it run for?
Five. It would be still open if I wasn't disturbing the area that much with the music.
Well, if they can hear you in Platzer.
Yes. Well, at the beginning, we didn't have any neighbors in the area, so it was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But after the years, they would start building houses. They was building rooms to rent. So it wasn't easy to run the restaurant and having all those neighbors complaining. Oh, what time are you gonna shut down the music? We wanna go to bed. We wanna sleep. So after 5 years, I remember the last year. I went to all those neighbors and said, I'm sorry for the last 2-3 years. This will be my last year running the restaurant. That's why I'm going to try to have loud music only Saturday night. The other nights, I'm going to work it as I have planned, a pub. So the music will be not for dancing, just to listen and chill. But only Saturday night, it will be a party. And appreciate. So the last year, we was all happy. They was happy, I was happy. And it was a nice ending.
What was the mix of nationality?
Those years, I would have to say that it was like 1994. It was many teenagers compared to now. Many teenagers. I would have to say that it was 50-50. 50% was Greek. Mm-hmm. 50% was English, Germans, many Italians, which they're not in, they don't visit Greece the last year a lot, at least at this area, and from other countries, Holland, some Spain, I remember. There was no north, like Norway, Finland, no. Those are the last years, like the Kardamili Jazz Festival, the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Norwegians are here. Yeah, mostly it was like Greek, Italians, English, Germans, Austrians, Sweden, European.
Yeah, and the gate is still there.
The gate is still there.
And the sign?
I'm not sure about the sign.
That's gone, is it?
Yeah, I think it's gone after those years.
And so to paint a picture of what this open-air bar was like, when you went through the gates...
Yes.
Straight ahead...
Big bar?
Was the bar. Was it round or oval?
Oval.
And you were before the bar...
On the left.
On the left. And then on the right, was that a dance floor or...?
Dance floor was everywhere.
It was everywhere. It didn't really matter, did it?
Yeah, there was dancing on the walls, on the tables, on the walls, on the walls, on the tables, on the, everywhere.
And then somewhere at the back, there were some toilets or something. Yeah, I seem to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And so are those buildings still there? I mean, the bar must have gone.
No, it's still there.
Is it?
It's still there. You're welcome to walk in there and get... some of your memories back.
I'll take a 4-pack of Greek beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Mythos Greek Fix beer. Or the local, Nema.
Yes, even better. Even better. Yes. Even better. Okay, so yeah, those crazy days. 5 years, huh?
5 years. Five beautiful, great years with many experience, many memories, stories. Yep.
And then at the end of that period, then you came back and helped in the taverna?
Yes. After that, I came here in the taverna. And the taverna was, that time, my father and my uncle, his brother, was running the taverna. And a few years later, my uncle was tired, so he decided to leave. So I took his place as a partner with my father, let's call it like this. And some years later, my father retired, and me and my wife, we took over.
Took over everything. Yeah. Okay.
So it's a family business.
Very much, yeah. Okay. So over the years, there hasn't really been that much of a change in the village. But there have been some changes. What's your view on those changes that have happened?
Good and bad, I would have to say.
Good and bad.
Yeah. Let's start with the good. The good is that people came here, love the place, and decide to build a house or buy one. That's the good news. Why? Because it's winter time in the area used to be very quiet. Now you can go out in the winter time and you will see people walking around. It's not dead. It's not. It has some action. So this is nice. This is nice. From the other side is. The bad is that, okay, many houses, many buildings, but what we're going to do with the water? Every house is making a swimming pool. What we're going to do with air condition? July, August, 40 Celsius air condition are on all day, so the power drops, cuts.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to do with the garbage, which I can tell that it's going all right. I think we're happy. I haven't seen mountains of garbage for days on the side of the street. So I think that's good. Yeah, that's I really don't know how if the electric company can handle this this need for more power. Another thing I don't know is about the water.
I think that's a bigger problem.
It is. As I said, many swimming pools, many houses, more gardens. I don't know. We'll see. We have a mayor now that it looks like he can work some things out. So we hope that he can find some solution for this.
Okay. And as we arrived, me and producer Jeff today, you were just testing out your karaoke.
Oh, yes, machine. Yes.
So this is what I'm saying, is that you're always willing to give something new a go and see if it works.
I will tell you now something. I'm not sure if you remember that. I'm not sure if you was here in Mani. Like my father, he had this idea to come and build and make a pizza restaurant in Mani. He also had another idea, which he make it truth. He make it real.
Mm-hmm.
Roller skating. Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
No. Actually.
Where?
Right here, next to the restaurant. It's still there, the platform. That used to be, for 3 years, three, 4 years, roller skates. So since then, since 19, let me remember, I was like 12 years old. So it was 1986, 85, 86, 1986, he made a roller skate platform, and that's how it started. So I'm doing the same. As you know, every once in the month, I have my full moon nights.
Because it's the perfect location, because the moon comes up over the mountains, across the bay.
And the ceremony, when the moon is coming out, have made a lot of people cry, goosebumps. It's unbelievable. I remember 3 years ago, there was this couple sitting outside, and I was sitting next to them, and I mentioned about the full moon party, and they said, no, we don't dance, especially my husband. He's a judge, very serious, and he will never dance. I said, you don't have to dance. Come here, enjoy the ceremony when the full moon is coming out. You don't have to dance. Enjoy your dinner. It's very nice. It's a very nice atmosphere. He said, okay, book us a table and we'll come. And I remember, I will never forget. The judge, the moment he stand up and start dancing, he didn't sat down for two and a half hours. He was keep dancing. It's like all this dancing he haven't done all his life, he did it in one night. One night. Yes, amazing, man.
By moonlight.
Yeah. By moonlight.
Oh, fantastic. Amazing. Great.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the nationalities at the old nightclub, the Orgenis. What mix do you get here? Is it at the Taverna? Is it the same? Is it it's totally varied? Yeah,
no, the same, except less the Italians. Now we have lots of Dutch, Israel, from Norway, from Finland. Yeah.
And are there differences in how they are as customers?
Well, those ones that they're coming now, they're older.
Uh-huh.
That time in Diogenes, there was teenagers. Lots of teenagers, different years. Now they are, yeah. But they are all very kind, very, very kind. I'm I think it's the place here that attracts this kind of people that they want to come here and relax. It's not like the Greek islands that they want to party and drink and make noise. No, we don't have this. Here is a place where you can come and relax and chill.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Aris, thanks for your time. It's always nice talking to you, and good luck for the season.
Thank you very much.
And let's see what happens on karaoke night.
Okay, make sure you'll be ready. Choose the song.
My voice is...
I'll have the ouzo ready for you.
Oh, well,
to give you some courage.
That will help. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, and please subscribe. Head over to InsideTheManny.com.